All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. In the studio, Sandy Williams. And, so again, phone lines are open, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, we were talking about before we went to break about how we somehow think is right for parents, or, you know, parents to homeschool is more than a notion. First off, you have to have somebody who is a parent who can stay home, that the husband makes enough money or the wife makes enough money, makes enough money to be able to stay home.
Yeah,
but then also that they're competent enough,
right? Well, I mean, my point was just that rather than dictating, dictating what public schools teach to everybody, which is what parents are trying to do now through this political process. If they're so hell bent to control what their children learn, then they need to qualify for and pursue a home learning process, which won't necessarily be good for their kids, but at least it won't damage the curriculum that's being taught to everybody else's children.
We seem to be having some trouble with our phone lines, but keep trying. 844-967-2789, we'll get it fixed. So here we are, and teachers have been beaten up by people on the right and vilified. And, you know, I was at one of the schools yesterday and spent about 3 hours and talking with some young boys, and what teachers are attempting to do, Sandy, you don't become a teacher because you want to get rich.
Right.
That's not going to happen. You become a teacher because you are committed to educating a young life and giving that life direction and guidance, and that used to be something that we respected people for, right?
Well, I mean, that's really the problem. Teachers have always been underpaid. And what they've always earned, however, is the respect of the community in which they live, and they become, you know, there's a lot of edification that comes from both teaching young people and guiding them in their life, and then earning the respect of the people around you. But when you lose that respect and instead become under attack as the result of what you're teaching, you've lost a big portion of the positive feedback, plus the fact the process of teaching has become much more complex. We're asking teachers to do far more than we used to. We're imposing all kinds of restrictions and restraints and requirements onto the curriculum they teach, so that the process of teaching has become both more difficult and probably less rewarding in terms of the way it feels to be a teacher. So we're sort of robbing teachers of everything that's positive about their job. We aren't paying them anywhere near enough to compensate them for pain, and the pain of what is hard work, and then also just this pain they're suffering in their community. So many of them are getting out of teaching, and particularly in this period of short labor. Someone who's talented and educated like a teacher can probably easily go out and find a job that pays better than the one that is no longer as rewarding to them as it used to be.
You know, Sandy, you use the definition talented and educated, and that's what teachers are. You're not going to just find some person on a street corner and think that you can, which is what in many instances this argument that we can transfer what people's disciplines are. Well, you're an engineer, we'll waive the other things, you can become a teacher. It's not the same, is it?
No. In fact, I have a son who has taught both high school and middle school. He's a dedicated teacher, very talented, smart kid. I mean, I'm biased,
right?
But The process of teaching is very difficult, and a lot is called for from them, and in order to have the kind of impact on the young people that every parent wants the teachers to have, these people have to be smart and talented and charismatic, and those people should get paid appropriately and should not be vilified in the political process. And I'm telling you, you know, this is all a part of this value system I've talked about before. Americans don't put a high premium on on classical education, on real education. And we seem to put a much greater premium on ideologically based agreement than we do on critical thinking.
You know, Sandy, it's the one place, it's one of the places where you see that that our nation is failing in not so much the kids as the approach to having the children educated.
Yes, I mean, you know, we've watched with dismay in the public arena the loss of the scientific process of evidence-based knowledge and facts. And that happened, you know, dramatically after 2016 and the advent of Trump and the world of make-believe and, you know, and alternative facts. All of that is stuff that is going to be harder to erase and harder to move away from if we don't have good, sound education that is fact-based and allows people to think critically on their own and to reach their own independent conclusions. And we're moving away from that in the pressure that's being put on education.
You know, I remember you saying that China was able to educate and educate a population of people that had not been educated, and what a task that has been, and yet they're being successful at it, and yet they're being successful at it, and India kind of the same, and yet here we are.
Well, I mean, there's a culture, and there are cultural differences. The Chinese culture that's steeped in Confucianism and Buddhism and various forms of philosophy that have motivated people into a kind of a much more thoughtful and education kind of oriented based approach. Same is true in India, where there's been quite a premium put culturally on education as an important pathway that was probably installed in large part by the British during the colonial period. But both of those cultures have created an environment in which education is held in high esteem, and it is carried out for a kid. The same is true in Russia. Right? Education in Russia is run at a very high level. People who graduate from high school in Russia are very well educated, quite frankly, much better educated than people who graduate from high school in the United States. And it's because of the premium that's put on education and the separation of education from the rest of young life. So in most countries, athletics is carried out independent from school, and school is an entity in onto itself in which children kind of earn their stripes amongst their colleagues through their academic performance.
So Sandy, how did we and when did we start losing that? Because the quality of what used to be taught when you and I were kids, you know, it's so different than what is being taught now, as you talked earlier.
Well, the rigor, I think the rigor of it has changed in terms of, and the quality maybe of the teachers. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I'm sure the atmosphere in schools.
Is it the curriculum itself, or does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, kids are coming out of high school, and when they work hard and do well, quite smart. And I'm not too worried about the places where it's working. I'm worried more about the places where it isn't working,
right.
and I'm worried about the situation of bending the curriculum to eliminate critical thought and critical thinking, and what that could do to our society to warp it even more than the current I don't want it to warp at warp speed, you know,
right?
I think that education is something we need to be very vigilant about protecting, and protecting it from the problems that will be created by ideologically created pressure.
So the overall enormous debt that has been taken on for the education that you are talking about, is that something we need to be concerned about down the road?
You mean talking about college?
Yeah.
College debt? Well, I think availability of education and higher education is something we need to be concerned about. Most of the established countries, particularly in Northern Europe, take care of the education of their people, and basically, if you live in most of European countries, you can go and get educated as long as you can qualify for the next level of education that you want to pursue, and that creates a pipeline of talented, educated people who are not foreclosed from securing that education based on economic barriers. The United States has, like in all other things, decided that the ability to afford it is one of the primary triage issues for whether you can get it. So that's true for healthcare. It's also true for education. And if you can't afford it, maybe you'll borrow money for it, which means you'll be saddling your future with the obligations of that money, which will possibly disable you from moving into whatever it is you want to do, and rather just taking the job that pays you enough.
All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. We'll be right back.
Baby,